When you shop at Amazon.com, all of your deliveries arrive so fast, you would think that they got dropped off by Jen and Caroline's cab driver and not Brendan and Rachel's cab driver ever. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Amazing Race podcasts like these. When you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sesternino here with our Amazing Race Final 3 exit interviews of the All-Stars. Of course, last night it was Dave and Connor who were the winners of Amazing Race 24, becoming the first parent and child team to ever win the Amazing Race. So we are going to go ahead and talk with them. Then we're going to speak with the second place team from Amazing Race All-Stars, Jen and Caroline, the country singers. And of course, we will round it up with talking with Brendan and Rachel here on a big Amazing Race exit interview podcast. It's a big finale week here on Rob Has a Podcast. Of course, last night, Jessica and I did our Sunday night wrap up. We talked about everything that happened about this leg of the race, where a lot of people thought it was not such a great last leg of the race. I was actually a little bit dazzled with David Copperfield and going up to the top of the Mirage and jumping out of the helicopter. So it's a little bit of a polarizing finale. We talked about everything that happened. We took your questions. Then we have the interviews right now. And then on Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, Jessica, Lisa, and I are going to be live with you guys talking about everything that happened on the Amazing Race. I also have a preview of tonight's Bachelor up. We're going to be trying out something new. We're going to have our first ever Rob Has a Podcast spinoff, where I am not going to be covering the Bachelor, but we are starting a new feed, a Rob Has a Podcast spinoff feed called Reality TV Rehap Ups, and we're going to be covering the Bachelor there. We have two great Bachelor podcast co-hosts in Amy and Haley, and they're going to be talking about The Bachelor every week with you, and you can hear me talk with them in our Bachelor preview podcast on robhasawebsite.com, and then the Bachelor Rehap Up show is going to be available on Wednesday. And then, of course, we go into our Survivor finale week, where Wednesday night after the Survivor finale, I'll be live with Stephen Fishback talking about everything that happens in the finale of Survivor Kagayan. And then on Thursday, I will have interviews with the entire Final Four from Survivor Kagayan. So big, big finale week on Rob Has a Podcast. Looking forward to getting into all of it. Of course, make sure you're locked in. Subscribe on iTunes, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes, or click the podcast tab to see all the different ways to subscribe to all the different shows that we're doing. I see that we have Dave and Connor here on the line. Let's go ahead and bring in our first exit interview. Dave and Connor, are you there?
Hey, Rob, how are you?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, hey.
Yeah, well, I should hope that you guys are doing great. Congratulations on the big win last night.
Thank you so much.
It was a magical night in Vegas for you guys.
It was. We won big.
Yeah, well, congratulations. Yeah, well deserved. You guys had a really great run in the Amazing Race this season, and very excited for you guys after everything that you guys have been through. How much does it mean for you both to have gone out in the first Amazing Race that you guys were in Amazing Race 22 with Dave's injury, to then come back and win the Amazing Race like you did this time?
It felt pretty good. it was amazing. I mean, it's so satisfying to be able to come back and be on it again, and then to have won it was incredible.
Yeah, because you guys are basically, if you look at your two combined seasons, you guys have quite a track record between the two shows. If it wasn't for the Achilles, I mean, who knows what would happen? Do you guys think you would have won Amazing Race 22 as well had you stayed in?
You know, it's hard to say just because of the fact that there's so much luck that goes into winning the Amazing Race. And, you know, there was many capable teams in season 22 as well. So it's hard to say, but, you know, we like to think that we would have gone far. We certainly would have gone further than we did, Rob.
Absolutely. Yeah, and half the teams from Amazing Race 22 were on this season, so it seems like you beat them this time.
Yeah, there were a lot of comebacks.
Yeah, so What was the biggest challenge that you guys ended up facing in the season? It seemed like not too many things slowed you guys down. So what was the biggest adversity that you guys faced?
What do you think, Dad? Well, we know I can't kick soccer balls.
That was probably our toughest day on the Amazing Race, or the toughest leg. I mean, we got to Heathrow and we were immediately made a wrong turn and we were lost for hours and ended up kind of bringing up the rear of that whole leg in England and Wales. And that was tough. We genuinely thought we could be out of the race at that point. And I won't say devastating, but it certainly was a downer for us.
Now, I was very confused when I watched the show, because you guys, it seemed like really nothing ever slowed you guys down too much. And you guys have both been through so many different things. But when it came down to the U-turn with Brendan and Rachel, it seemed like that really bothered you guys. It didn't really slow you down too much in that leg of the race. It seemed like you guys weren't even too close to the back of the pack. But why did it bother you so much when Brendan and Rachel did the U-turn to you guys?
To be honest, in the moment, we probably blew things out of proportion. We simply thought, if this was a strategic thing, why didn't they U-turn the Cowboys, who had an express path? It didn't make sense to us.
Seemed like a stupid decision.
Why was it a stupid decision? Because that it was like they were going for first place and trying to get prizes as opposed to trying to U-turn the team that was in the back?
As opposed to trying to U-turn the team that was the strongest competitor to win the race. And that was our approach.
If you're going for a win, definitely. I think it was a smart move. But if you're looking at it, okay, I want to win the Amazing Race, I think maybe you would think a little bit different. But again, everybody has their own way they want to run the race. So,
was there more to the feud that, from what we saw on the show, like was there more to it that ended up making it be a bigger deal that we didn't see on the show?
I'd just say we're not inviting each other to dinner on Sunday.
Yeah. How about when the Afghanimals, you guys had the accidental alliance with the Afghanimals and Jen and Caroline. And so when the second U-turn came up, that it seemed like you guys wanted to U-turn Brendan and Rachel, and you had this alliance with them, but the Afghanimals decided to use the U-turn on the Cowboys. When the Afghanimals got to the pit stop, do you guys have any interaction with them and say, hey, what's the big idea? I thought we're going to U-turn the Brentchels. Why are you U-turning the Cowboys?
Yeah, that's kind of what the plan was, but given the circumstances and Jamal getting hurt, I think they felt threatened that, the Cowboys are probably right on their heels and they're going to be the strongest team. So I think at that point they just wanted to stay in it. Mm-hmm. And, at the end of the day, we weren't mad at the Afghanimals by any means. We totally understand and think they're great guys, and there was no hard feelings.
Dave, did you have any conversation with Jamal after he had the knee injury to sort of talk to him about what he was going through?
I did, and he was hurting. That was, getting hit by those rugby players in those balls was not a game. It was not, some people I noticed tweeted, oh, that didn't hurt. I challenge anyone to get in one of those balls and get knocked around on a cobblestone street by a bunch of rugby players. It hurt. And so I was sympathetic. I mean, I'd had an injury on the race, and I knew how it could really set you back. So we liked those guys so much, and we really did have this final three alliance that we hoped would be the final three, because if it wasn't us, we wanted Caroline. If it wasn't them, we wanted the Afghanimals. And so, unfortunately, they didn't make it.
Dave, how much of a concern was it for you that you would have a setback with your Achilles injury at some point during the season?
It was always in the back of my mind that I didn't want to get injured again. It was a hard recovery for me. And so I was, you know, I made comments about being old because I felt old. I felt older than the other people. I mean, I couldn't run quite as fast, and I didn't want to get hurt again. So it was always in the back of my mind, and fortunately I had a great, strong teammate, and Connor would take my pack when I needed him to, and just really kind of, I called him my personal Sherpa.
How much did it hold you back? Like, did you avoid running at any point, or did you just like not want to go into that gear because you were afraid that you could re-injure it?
You know, I didn't. I really, there were times when I was conscious of it, and like I said, it was kind of in the back of my mind. And probably the most significant time is when we were running to the finish on the leg in Sri Lanka when we finished at Mount Lavinia on the beach. And I knew I was going to be running in sand, and I knew that's where I'd ruptured my Achilles in Bora Bora. And so I said kind of tongue-in-cheek to Jessica, she was passing me, go ahead and run faster than an old man or something like that. So I said to Connor, you know, I'm not going to push this. It doesn't matter. We know we're not in first or second, but we know we're not last. So we'll just get to the mat when we get there.
So I know a lot of people like to track the number of roadblocks that get done during the season. And it seemed like towards the end of the year, it was getting to be a little skewed where Connor had done more of the roadblocks than you had done, Dave. When it got to the last roadblock of jumping out of the helicopter, did they say that you had to do that task?
They did say that I had to do that task.
And how did you feel about that?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Rob, after having not jumped out of the helicopter in Bora Bora and having had to do the sandcastles for 4 hours, I think I was more than ready to do the helicopter, not knowing what was coming next.
I don't think you could have gotten me to jump out of that helicopter.
Well, you know, if you know there's $1 million at the end of the line, you kind of do it. It was actually, I hate heights, but it turned out to be a really neat experience.
And what was it like for you guys to work with David Copperfield?
Oh, it was unreal. It was so neat. They did that, not that it's the same caliber, but when they, you know, they said that they were going to meet President Obama, I kind of thought it was going to be one of those scenarios where, yeah, we're not really going to meet David Copperfield. But then to have him, you know, pop up behind us was pretty awesome.
Now, Dave, did you buy that Connor was in trouble? That, you know, basically they do the thing where the box drops. Did you think that there was a chance he was still in the box?
Well, you know, I will tell you, Rob, you're exhausted. It's 2 a.m. or whatever time it was. You're hungry and tired and cold, and all of a sudden you see this box with your son in it drop into a fire. I just was kind of in disbelief for a second. And you know, I thought, where is he? And I think I said, where is he? And then to have him run up behind me was a real relief.
Yeah, Dave, should they be putting you through that kind of shock like that?
Yeah, well, you know.
I thought I was going to kill him.
Oh, no. Please. So you guys also broke some records, or at least made some history. So you're the first parent and child team to win the Amazing Race in the U.S. version. What does that mean for you guys?
Yeah, it's pretty big. I mean, it's definitely something we're proud of. It's awesome.
It means a lot because there have been a lot of great parent-child teams before us, and you know, it's an honor to win.
What did you guys bring to the table that other parent-child teams hadn't been able to do before?
I think I brought my teammate.
Yeah. Well, Connor, you were really amazing on the race. No pun intended, but it seemed like there was almost nothing that you struggled with along the way. That what was the task that you had the most difficulty with?
The task that I had the most difficulty with was probably either the memorization of the Welsh poem or the calligraphy. Those
yeah.
Well, the soccer was definitely the one I looked the most stupid at, which couldn't kick that soccer ball for my life. But the most frustrating and tough were was the Welsh poem and the calligraphy. There's two things I never have done in my life. So it was rough.
So we know that you won't be sending Brendan and Rachel a dinner invitation, and it won't be in calligraphy if it was.
Yeah.
We might be sending them a message in Welsh that they can't read.
Now, Dave, you also made history because you're the oldest person to win the Amazing Race. Is that a badge of honor for you?
Yeah, it is. I mean, again, there's been a lot of capable people that are probably older than I am that could have won had the circumstances been a little bit different. But it does. It feels satisfying to think that I'll be 60 this year and to think that I had the chance to run the Amazing Race twice, come back after an injury, and win is a big deal to me.
Now, would you guys want to come back for another time on the Amazing Race, or do you feel like it's done now?
Oh yeah, bring me back,
and bring him back with somebody else.
All right, maybe if there's another Mark and Bopper situation that Connor could be a good free agent. All right, well, that you guys really did a phenomenal job. Really nice to talk to you both. I know I got a lot of people asking me, Connor, if you are single. A lot of people want to know this from watching you this season.
I have a girlfriend right now, yes, so I'm off the market.
All right, sorry everybody. All right, well, very nice to talk to you both, and congratulations on winning the race. Really, really a nice story to have you guys both come through this, and all the best, guys.
Thanks so much, Rob. Appreciate it.
All right, take care. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. The winners of the Amazing Race, Dave and Connor. Now we're going to get to Jen and Caroline and Brendan and Rachel in just a moment, but I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this podcast, who are our friends over at DraftKings.com. Now, lots of people who listen to this podcast have been playing, and some of them winning crazy money at DraftKings.com. Fantasy baseball is back, and you do not want to miss what's happening at DraftKings.com, which is America's favorite one-day fantasy baseball site. Fantasy baseball at DraftKings is getting huge, and anyone can enter with just a few bucks and win a ton of cash. Listen to some of these results. Somebody turned $11 into $4,000, and another player won 100 grand in their first time ever playing. And one guy even won $1 million at DraftKings.com, and he even did not even have to jump out of a helicopter or screw in light bulbs. That's how easy it is. Seriously, $1 million in one day playing fantasy, and nobody has ever torn their Achilles tendon playing fantasy baseball. I can assure you of that. DraftKings takes watching baseball to a whole new level, and now you can win instant cash every day in every game. It's easy. DraftKings is one-day fantasy baseball. That means no season-long commitments, no being stuck with players, just instant cash every day. You could be a veritable baseball bunny even. So right now, you can score free entry into DraftKings' biggest fantasy baseball contest of the year. Over $3 million in cash prizes with $1 million for first place, just like the Amazing Race. Enter ROB today at DraftKings.com for your free shot at hundreds, thousands, and even $1 million. Free spots are going quick, so enter ROB now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. All right, so next up, we're going to talk to our second place finishers, our most musically inclined team from this season. Let's go ahead and bring in the country singers, Jen and Caroline. Jen and Caroline, are you there?
Hi, Rob.
Hey, Jen and Caroline, how's it going?
Are you so excited to talk to us?
I heard that you and Jen got in a Twitter fight. Uh-oh, I'm nervous.
We got into a Twitter fight? Why? What did we fight about on Twitter?
I wouldn't say it was a fight.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Would you, Rob?
No, I don't think so at all. I don't get in any Twitter fights.
Me neither.
Yeah. So, first off, how are you guys doing?
We're great.
We'd
be better if we're millionaires, but besides that, we're awesome.
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate you guys because I think that you guys are officially the greatest Amazing Race team ever to not win a leg of the Amazing Race.
Well, I think we're the only team ever to not
I think that's quite an accomplishment because look, believe me, I get a lot of backhanded compliments myself, so I know what that's like. But you guys really have been the picture of longevity because it's like even though you're not winning these legs, you're just figuring out a way to stay in the game, and I think that's a big deal.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know what? We're really, I mean, at the end of the day, it came down to the last leg of the race to win. So we kind of, I mean, we wanted to win the legs, but we were like, listen, if we can stay in it and win the last leg, that's all that matters. So, of course, we wanted to win legs, but we were really happy. We're happy with how we did. We feel really proud of ourselves. And, like, it was such a great experience. All the people in the race were awesome. We've made great friends. It was great.
Now, was there any frustration to end up coming so close to ending up being the winners this season?
Yes. Oh my gosh. We've talked about it. We're like, we wish that we would have, we almost wish it was like 30 minutes apart so that we wouldn't feel so heartbroken. And also we were really, it was disappointing because we were really thinking that there was going to be a memory challenge or some kind of challenge at the end to where you could catch up and have a chance. And for me, this is Jen, like I love puzzles and memory games. Like that's where I excel. So I knew every single piece of information that had happened on the race. And so we were really hoping that there was going to be some kind of task to where we could catch up, but at the end of the day, it was like whoever jumped out of that plane first was the winner.
Yeah, I don't even think that you guys had any mistakes or anything that slowed you guys down in that final leg. Was it just that Dave and Connor screwed in the light bulbs faster than you guys were able to?
I think, yeah, they did. They threw the light bulbs faster. They're very thorough with screwing in light bulbs. We're thorough with screwing light bulbs. They were much faster than us. But they, yeah, our cab, we actually were beating them, though. We had such a great cab driver. They got down like a minute or so before us, and then our cab driver was just on it. And if they wouldn't have sped past us at the very, very end and gotten to the clue box first, we would have won. So it's just seconds mattered in this race. It was so close. Everything was just neck and neck the whole time.
And we counted, Rob, like, because we knew that we were close behind them with pulling the clue, but we counted last night. It was 4 seconds. Caroline had pulled the clue, or I pulled the clue, I forgot who, 4 seconds after they did. So we were like, oh my gosh, we lost the race by 4 seconds.
Oh gosh, this almost makes you feel crazy.
Yeah.
Now, when you guys got to the mat, I thought it was curious what Phil said to you guys, that he's like, Jen and Caroline, I know you guys felt like you didn't belong with the elite teams, but you guys did a really good job. Did you guys feel like you didn't belong with the elite teams?
Is that what he said? I don't even remember it.
No, we didn't. We actually, surprisingly, we thought we had just as good of a chance as everybody else did. I mean, we have our strengths and weaknesses, and physically, you know, we're not the strongest team, but we thought there, depending on the challenge that they had or depending on who did the challenge, we had just as good of a chance as everybody else did.
And we believe in the underdog. I mean, underdogs surprise people all the time, and we believe in ourselves, and so that was really all we needed. We thought we could do it, and we never, ever let ourselves get discouraged or scared or feel like we weren't on an equal level. I mean, we definitely knew physically we weren't as strong, but we excelled in other areas.
And also, I think that it helped us, people thinking that we were the underdog, because everyone kept saying, oh, anyone could beat the blondes, like anyone could beat them. And we were like, great, if you think that, it only helps us we weren't a target. So we feel like it just kind of helped us slide under the radar, which is, you know, was an advantage for us.
Now, over the two seasons that you guys have played, it seems like you guys have really mastered the flirt game in the Amazing Race. Is that an overlooked strategy that a lot of people don't consider to be as valuable as some of the other more obvious strategies, but an effective one?
Well, you know, Jen and I just, absolutely love community. Like, we really do. We said it in one of our interviews, we flirt with life. Like, we just find everything. We like to keep it light and fun, and we do love male attention. We can't help it. And there are so many males on the show. But it's just, honestly, we just have a good time with people, and we want to have fun. And so I guess it is a strategy, community, like building community.
And this is Jen. I do think that was it definitely helped us. So I know that a lot of people probably didn't like that, but at the end of the day, it was a race. So you're going to use whatever you have to win the race.
Yeah, it definitely came up big, especially I think it was the second episode when you were able to get the express pass from the Cowboys.
Well, and too, what was great about that was, so I knew, Caroline, I knew she was going to build the car. It was just going to take her forever. And at that time, we were already in last place, and everyone had almost had their whole car put together, and she hadn't even started. So I knew that we needed the express pass or else we'd be eliminated. And so for the Cowboys, it was actually like kind of an easy sell because for them, they're a strong team, and they had to give an express pass away. So it was just kind of, at that time, if they would have given it to us, it would have been blown up right there. It wouldn't have been used against them, and it wouldn't be given to another team who could use it as a weapon in the future. So it was actually a good play for them, too.
Now, did you know before you'd seen the episode last night that Brendan and Rachel tried to steal your cab?
I don't think we really knew how hard they tried to steal it. Like, they really went after it.
Well, we knew a little because our cab driver said, you know, they tried to get me to leave, but I didn't leave. And we were like, oh, thank you so much.
You know, I think about it, they really were going after him.
We were so impressed, though, with our cab. Like, how sweet of him to stay, you know?
Oh, what a sweet guy. He stuck with us.
You guys must have really made a good impression on him that he didn't leave. Brendan wanted to give him $25.
I know. He was just a stand-up guy. If we won at the end, you know, he was so awesome. When we got to that Maverick flight thing, we just gave him all the rest of the money we had, which was like over $100. But if we would have won the race, I think for sure he would have been getting a nice tip.
Yeah, we could find him and give him a big old tip.
Now, you guys got really invested in the accidental alliance plan and wanting to get rid of Brendan and Rachel. Now, you turned Dave and Connor, but you were really on board with wanting to get rid of them. Did Brendan and Rachel rub you guys the wrong way, or is it just that you love Dave and Connor so much?
We just love Dave and Connor. We didn't have a problem with Brendan and Rachel. They're fully fine people. We don't necessarily gel with them. Like, we probably wouldn't be there to just, like, hang out with them in regular life, but we didn't ever have a problem with them. And then Dave and Connor, when they U-turned them, it really upset Dave and Connor, and it just kind of accidentally formed. I mean, that's literally why it was called the Accidental Alliance. It was, like, not on purpose, and then it just sort of happened that the Brinchels sort of isolated, and all of a sudden it was them against the rest of us. Just found a way, but she crumbled.
Were you surprised at what a big deal that became on the show over the last few weeks?
No, because I think that, you know, they need a storyline, and it really wasn't that big of a deal in reality racing. It wasn't, I had no idea it was going to blow up to be like that, but they needed a storyline, and I think for the most part, all of the teams got along. So, you know, there's got to be some drama somewhere.
Yeah, got to be.
Now, you guys seemed really impressed to meet David Copperfield. Were you guys big David Copperfield fans before meeting him?
He's David Copperfield, like the king of magic.
Rob, I have to tell you something. Caroline is from Waco, Texas, a small little Texas town, and she, like, when she sees celebrities, she loses it.
I've gotten better.
So we call it Wacoing out, because she'll see someone, oh my gosh, we saw one of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We were in a New York restaurant, and she jumped up from the table and started running and jumped in her arms. Lisa, I don't know if you watched that show, but I'm sitting there watching the whole thing happen going, no! And Lisa was like shocked because this girl's jumping on her. But so Caroline loves famous people.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, David Copperfield is David Copperfield. He was not going to be excited to meet him. He's like the master of magic.
Yeah. I thought that was very, very fun in the episode last night. I want to know, Caroline, how much experience had you had shooting a gun before you came on The Amazing Race?
I mean, I was actually surprised myself completely. I grew up in Waco, Texas, and my dad grew up on a farm, and my boyfriend had grown up on a farm, and so I actually had been around skeet shooting a lot. I just had never really done it. I tried it a couple of times, and I never really hit the clay pigeon. So I was scared to do it. I told Jen before we did the challenge, like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this. So when I nailed those four pigeons right away, I literally like had to pat myself on the back. I couldn't believe how baller I was.
Yeah, that was very impressive.
Thank you. And then Jen, here comes Jen. After Jen got her stride, she started knocking them out too. I mean, I think we impressed ourselves. We didn't know we were going to be that great at it.
You know what, too? That was like a moment on the race where we were having so much fun because it was like kind of just, it was just a fun moment. Like at that time, you weren't worried about anything else except being in the moment and shooting. And it was like a really, that was our favorite challenge.
Yeah, it was fun. It really was.
What was the least favorite thing that you guys had to do on this season?
Well, I, of course, hated assembling that car. Well, I would say building that raft in Malaysia. That was, it started fun. Like, in the beginning, we had fun. It's just, then we got into dangerous rapids. Yeah, going to those dangerous rapids where we thought we were going to, like, literally die, that was scary.
And neither one of us have ever built a raft in our life. There are no instructions, and so we're like, we don't even know where to begin with this. I can't believe our raft held together.
Now, I know you guys are country singers. Has the Amazing Race inspired any songs over the last year or so?
Well, we wrote the unofficial theme song for this season, which is really fun. And CBS used it in several places. And now I think we got the music itch back. We took a little break to race around the world twice. And now I think we're going to head back into the studio and might be popping up new music soon. So keep your ears alert. Keep your ears alert.
Were there any events that inspired any particular songs?
You know what? We love to write songs about our cab drivers. In Malaysia, we wrote a song about our cab driver. We wrote a song about our cab driver in the first season we were on 22 when we were in Bali. So, yeah, I think we get really inspired when we're cruising around in a cab.
Well, and too, like, just for example, the theme song that we wrote, it was kind of just about, like, second chances, like, getting a second chance and how awesome it is and to never give up. I mean, I think that was a big thing on the race is you just can never give up.
And especially us, being the underdogs that we were, like, we knew we had to go in there just with a heart and, you know, believe we could do it. And so that was the point of that song we wrote. It's called Here We Are.
And will you guys be writing any songs about third chances?
I don't know. This second race almost killed us. I don't know if we could survive another one. I feel like you're in the Hunger Games out there.
It really does. It's so amazing and so awesome and like such a once and now twice a lifetime experience. But it takes it out of you. It is so exhausting in every area of your life.
And do you guys feel bad at all that you contributed to there not being a Brenchel baby?
You could have a baby without $1 million.
And she won like $500,000 on Big Brother, right? I mean, I don't know why they need $1 million to have a baby.
Babies are expensive.
What kind of baby are they going to shop at?
I know a lot of people that live on a normal income that have babies.
Yeah, they try to shop at Neiman Marcus for their baby clothes.
They should try out some Ross or TJ Maxx or Goodwill.
No. All right. Jenny Caroline, thank you guys for coming on with me. I promise I'm not fighting with anybody on Twitter.
Rob, I didn't think it was a fight. I just thought we just had different opinions.
All right. Well, we'll definitely talk to me on Twitter. Let me try to redeem myself.
Okay, well, I had a really great time talking to you today, and you're very professional, and we had a great time with you.
Oh,
we respect you a lot.
Thank you very much. And if people want to talk to you guys on Twitter, whether they agree with you or not, what's your Twitter handles?
It's at Jen Wayne, which is JenWayne, and at Texas Sweet Caroline, which is at TexasSweetCaroline.
All right, guys, thank you so much and all the best, okay?
Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Jen and Carol. I mean, not for anything. If I was going to have a Twitter feud with anybody, it would not be somebody who demonstrated their knowledge of how to use a rifle. Please, I'm going to be having a Twitter fight with people that I'm not afraid that are descendants of John Wayne and Daniel Boone, not people that are going to, you know, potentially be able to hurt me physically. I'm going to basically keep it to all the people that I know that I can beat up. And that's a very small group. And that's why you don't see me in any Twitter fights. Now, I just received word that Brendan from Brendan and Rachel is driving right now, and hopefully not with the taxi driver from last night, although she did have a Bluetooth in her ear. So we are only going to be speaking with Rachel, but luckily she, I'm sure, can talk enough for Brendan and Rachel. So I think it's going to still be a lot of fun. So let's go ahead and bring her in. Rachel, are you there?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
So good. So excited to talk to you. Obviously, my favorite Rob Has a Podcast.
Oh, good. Of all the Rob Has a Podcast. Very good to know we're your favorite.
Of course you're my favorite podcast.
Oh, even
you
better.
All the good gossip.
All right. Anyway, Rachel, so we're very excited to talk to you. It looked like for a while that you and Brendan were going to have just like a calm season and not feud with anybody until this U-turn came up, and then lots of drama ended up ensuing.
I know, and we couldn't understand it. And they like held that drama the entire race. It was so crazy. Like, Dave and Connor and Caroline and Jen got so mad at us and like held on to it the whole entire race. And honestly, we were just being strategic. We literally only U-turned them because they were right behind us, and we told them that. So we just didn't understand why they were so upset about it. I think they just thought that we shouldn't U-turn them, but we're playing a game and it's All-Stars. If you didn't come and bring your All-Star game, then why go on All-Stars, you know?
Do you feel like it's because you and Brendan were on Big Brother that the other teams like get more pissed off at you guys when you do something, as opposed to if you were just like, if you were basically like John and Jessica and you use the U-turn on them?
I think maybe it does have a little bit to do with it. And I also think because Brendan and I are so competitive, I think that they look at us like we come on these shows, like I call ourselves reality athletes, and we come on these shows, we train really hard, we work really hard. And I think that like we come to win, and we take it very seriously. So I think that they probably were a little bit mad about the whole Big Brother thing, just because they know that we won Big Brother. But, you know, I think they probably, their attitude, they probably would have just been pissed anyways. They would have got mad at whoever you turned them.
All right. Now, I know you really wanted this one. You were very upset last night that you really wanted to win the Amazing Race last night. Was there any particular reason why you wanted that particular show so badly? I mean, you already are a Big Brother winner.
Yes, because I want to have babies. You know, living in LA, it's so expensive and diapers aren't free. You're a new dad, so you know, it's like crazy. I mean, I think that like winning Amazing Race would have helped us so much to be able to just, you know, have a baby and make it easier, because Brendan's still getting a PhD, and that really makes a huge difference. Like, my husband's still in graduate school, so grad students don't make a lot of money, and or if any money, if they're lucky. And I'm hosting a talk show now, but we're just a young couple starting out. So winning Amazing Race would just help us to be able to have a baby in LA. But that doesn't mean we're giving up. We're still trying, and I'm not on birth control anymore, and we're going for it.
Whoa, the goalie has been pulled. Oh my
That's
goodness.
Right, we're going for it.
All right, so we'll expect an announcement any moment. Oh my goodness. Yeah, but you know, in all seriousness, if it's just the money thing, you know, you'll figure out a way to make it work. Like, you know, you shouldn't let that stop you. I thought it was more that because Brendan was still getting his degree, and that it was more of a time management thing.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely too. That if Brendan was on the phone, he would definitely agree with you. he always says that, because he's like, when we have a baby, I want to be able to be there all the time for him. And I want to be able to be there. And like, you know, if I'm up at night with the baby until 5 a.m. and I have to go to school at 8 a.m., he's like, it is very stressful. And especially when you're finishing a degree, especially a PhD, it becomes very stressful with you. time management, mm-hmm. money, and all that good stuff.
Right. And if we weren't doing an Amazing Race interview right now, I'd have a lot more stories I could talk about.
Yeah, right? All right. That's a sidebar for another day.
Yeah, definitely. So how bad was the taxi driver? And were you, like, the things that you guys were saying, could she hear everything you guys were saying about her?
My gosh, I have no idea. I hope she heard it because she was the worst driver ever. Oh my gosh. We don't even know how she like legally drives a car, let alone a taxi cab in Las Vegas, for the love of God. Like, she was the worst driver. She didn't know where anything was. She was driving 5 miles an hour on the freeway. She was literally driving like 30 miles an hour. We're like, the speed limit's 70. Please go. It was a green light. She was stopping. I was like, it's a green light. Please drive. You can do it.
But do you think she was driving slower?
Like, what do we do?
Because you guys were making fun of her?
That's a possibility. But we weren't making fun of her. We were encouraging her. We were trying to encourage her. And I think, like, she, when we got in the car, she was like, where are you guys going? And I was like, the Neon Graveyard. And she's like, I don't know where that is. And we're like, okay, well, I have the address. I gave her the address. I put it in the GPS. And she was, like, not listening to what the GPS said. She didn't know how to operate the GPS. And we were just like, oh, my God. And I was like, I know how to get there. Just I'll give you directions. I know exactly where we're going. I'm like, take the 15. And she's like, I don't know where the 15 is. And I'm like, no, please don't say that. We kind of knew it was doomed at that point.
Yeah. That, if you don't know, the 15 is, like, the main highway that you take to get into Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The biggest highway.
Right. So did you and Brendan come into the Amazing Race All-Stars with a different strategy than you did for the first time you guys played the Amazing Race?
Absolutely. I think, like, for Brendan and I, we had a few different strategies going into this season. We really trained really hard. Like, I ran for like 4 miles a day, and I would do an hour of yoga and an hour of weight training. And we just wanted to be physically very, very prepared, but also mentally. Like, we watched hours and hours of The Amazing Race. We watched hours of travel documentaries. Like, not even kidding you, I know about all these countries in the world that we, of course, didn't even visit. And you never know where you're going to go on The Amazing Race. You always have to over-prepare because we tried to prepare as much as we could. And we, like, did Rosetta Stone. We did everything. And then as far as, like, our team strategy, Brendan and I really wanted to make sure that we were on the same page. And I think that a lot of people saw that this year, that there were no, freakouts, and that they weren't, like, Brendan and I didn't really go at it with each other either, because we mentally prepared for it as by just talking, you know, to each other and saying, like, this, we're still a married couple, and, like, this is great. Like, this is going to be fun. Let's go on it. Let's try to win $1 million. Let's try to win as many legs as we can. But at the end of the day, you're my partner. You're my best friend. And that's what's really important in life, and that we're going on this adventure and we're going to go have fun as well.
Yeah, you guys had a few blow-ups, but for you guys, like, that was really, really good. Like,
out of the
four
totally
shows, you really never turned against each other one time on the entire show for more than a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. And I think that that was something that, as Brendan says, he put a ring on it. So I think that's something that just, like, comes with being married, you know?
I wish that was true,
Rachel. We kind of know. Yeah. We kind of know that at the end of the day, that's your partner, and that's who is, they're only saying things to you because they're looking out for you. And for example, when I freaked out in England, because, like, literally we thought we were going to be eliminated, and it was so hard, and that welly thing was so physically exhausting. And then on top of it, knowing that we messed up and we could be eliminated, it's just so hard to think about and process at the same time. So I started crying, and then Brendan was like, stop crying. And I'm like, okay, at first I was mad, and then I was like, wait, he's really telling me this so that I pull it together so we can finish this task and do this detour so that we can go on to the finish line and still stay in this game. So I think we just kind of put things into perspective a little bit more.
Okay, a couple of quick things about the show last night. There was some talk about this, but of course we didn't see it in the airport. Did you push Jen and Caroline in the airport?
No, I didn't. They are crazy. First of all, Brendan and I run way faster than them. So let's just put that out there. Like, if it was a running competition to get into line first, I would have smoked them. So we were, like, already, like, we outran Dave and Connor. We outran Dunn and Caroline. We were already at the front of this line. And I don't know what they're talking about. I did not push them. I didn't knock into them. Nothing. I think she's just dramatic. And I think that, like, that's the whole, that was what I was saying. It's like, what are you, they're just bitching to bitch. Like, they're just, like, complaining to complain, you know? They're just, they were just saying stuff for no reason. So I don't know, I don't even know where they came up with it, but I think they just hate us so much that, like, I mean, maybe my backpack could have knocked into her and she would have said I pushed her. Like, and we weren't wearing backpacks, so I don't even think that happened. So I have no idea where she even fabricated this story from.
Did Brendan throw dirt into Connor's hole?
Okay, so that's what Connor said. And I don't doubt that he did throw it into his hole because the holes were so close. But, like, we weren't doing it on purpose or maliciously. Like, what had happened was that the holes were also closed. So you were throwing dirt, and, like, Brendan got bruises on his hands because he was, like, just digging so quickly and so, like, he was just going so fast and just digging. So if he was throwing dirt, it was, like, behind him, in front of him, in our hole. Like, you know, we were just anything that you could do to get the dirt away, to get the clue box, is what we were doing. So if there was dirt, it's very possible that some dirt did get on Connor. But, like, he was just complaining again, but just complaining to complain. Because it's like, we're in the middle of a dirt desert, like, where there's sand and dirt, and we're digging with holes that are all close to each other, and we're racing for $1 million. So give me a break, buddy. What do you want us to do? Like, say, excuse me, why don't you guys find your clue first, and then we'll start digging. No. Like, they should have worried about their own race.
Which was a bigger thrill for you, getting to meet David Copperfield on The Amazing Race 24 or getting to meet David Hasselhoff on Big Brother 13?
Ooh, I like this. Good comparison. I don't know. That's so hard because on Big Brother, he came in and hung out with us and, like, he sat on the bed. Like, we got to, like, chill with him for a bit. And so, I don't know. That was kind of cool. But David Copperfield, that magic trick was so amazing. It was the coolest thing I've ever done, Rob. It was so fun. And they had done, they planned it just for Amazing Race. Like, nobody had ever attempted that magic trick before, ever. So meeting David Copperfield and then doing a magic trick was so cool.
So I know you guys really wanted to win, but were you happy for Dave and Connor at all that they got to come back and win the Amazing Race?
I mean, I guess you're always happy for a team. Like, obviously we wanted to win, but I guess you're always happy when, you know, if I wasn't on the season competing with them, then I would have been happy for them. You're always happy for the winner, because especially being a, you know, a competitive person and being an athlete myself, I feel like I'm always going to cheer the other team for the other team and congratulate them, you know, because they're working really hard too. And so they did race really well. And, you know, and the final leg, who the heck knows what's going to happen. So it's kind of like they did race really well, and they definitely, it's not like they were handed a win. They had to work for it. And so I was happy for them in that sense. But of course, the day that they won, I wasn't very happy.
I think we wanted
to win.
You guys are pretty underrated amazing racers. You're the only team in Amazing Race history to get to the finals twice. Would you guys consider a third Amazing Race stint, or you feel like with a baby potentially in the future, is that out of the picture?
We are definitely not ever doing Amazing Race again.
Oh.
Ever. That is totally out of the picture. We will never go on that on race again. But, you know, there's always the possibility of a Survivor or another Big Brother. We would love to do Survivor. I think I would be so good. I think I would be great at the tribal councils. I would be wearing my sequin bikinis, you know. I think that would be really fun. And Brendan always says never say never. So, who knows?
Yeah. Well, that would be very fun. That would be very fun.
It would be fun.
And then last thing, were you happy with the outcome of Big Brother Canada?
Oh my God, I was dying. Are you kidding me? Like, when John didn't take Netta, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I could not even, like, control the shock. It was the craziest thing ever. And I think everyone was surprised by it, but good for him. He won the game, and that's what we're all here to do. We're all reality athletes, and we go on these shows to win. So he had to do what he had to do, and it was an amazing, epic win.
All right.
Better than last year.
Yeah. All right, Rachel, less than 40 days till Big Brother 16. Can you believe it?
Oh my God, I can't wait. I am so pumped. I think it's going to be a great summer. I can't wait to see what the producers have like planned for us, because I think that they always have like some crazy casting planned and some crazy twists plan. So I just can't even imagine what they have planned this year, but I think it's just going to be epic and amazing.
Okay. And we'll have to see if any of your relatives get cast this season.
I know. That's the rumor, right? So we'll see.
All right. Well, Rachel, I wish Brendan could be with us, but I know we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Yeah, we love you anytime. We love your podcast. So anytime we can come on, just let us know.
All right. All the best to Brendan. Take care. Okay.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
All right. Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. That was Rachel here on Rob Has a Podcast. So that is going to do it for our exit interviews, but I hope you guys can join us, even if it's after the fact and you listen in the archives. We're going to be live today talking about everything from The Amazing Race, a little bit of our town hall forum where you guys can ask your questions, and Jessica and I will talk about everything Amazing Race, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. So check that out. And then we're going to have all of our fun stuff coming up this week. I forgot to mention a couple other things. We're going to have some coverage of the new Fox show, I Want to Marry Harry, and that should be up on Wednesday for you guys on Rob Has a Podcast. And then as well, I am going to be covering this season of Last Comic Standing, which is premiering on Thursday with Mike Bloom. I'm going to have an interview with the winner of Last Comic Standing 3, my friend Alonzo Bowden. So I recorded that last week, and I'm going to post that sometime later on tonight, so you'll have it for Tuesday. So a lot going on here on Rob Has a Podcast. It's finale week, but we're not slowing down. Hope you guys are enjoying all the shows. Love to hear what you think in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.